This week, Erica don't like broke bitches. We got snitches in here. And, you know, we're going to talk about FUBU brands and what could you wear to school. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, first of all, best soundtrack to an episode of Atlanta so far. I don't want to hear about Migos. I don't want to hear about any shit else. Stevie Wonder was dope, but this was my childhood, and I can't. It's so goddamn good. Welcome to the Atlanta panel. We're back. It's episode 10, which means we have one more until our finale. What? Ooh. This week we threw it all the way back to middle school. It was wild. We were wearing inappropriate clothing.
Yeah.
We were clowning teachers. It was a mess. And then, of course, you know, we dealt with some depression. So we're going to get into all of those things today. On the panel, I got Drew, Ivana. I got Steph.
What's up?
Yay, welcome back, Steph. I miss you. I'm Joelle Monique, of course. Let's just get right into who else would I be?
The one and only.
Yes. I want to talk about childhood and school trauma. I feel like this episode really informed us a lot about Erin and Al's, not just their younger years, but how those younger years brought them to who they are today. Specifically, the line where his aunt was like, look, if you let people bully you now, they're going to bully you forever. And we see Erin get he had bullied every single episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Until last week, he tried to make a stand and it didn't fucking work. I am blown away. It just makes last week's episode so much more depressing because it seems like we built all of these years up to him just taking it and trying to figure it out and trying to be a good person. And when he finally stands up for himself, he just got beat down. It's brutal. I wanted to start off by asking you guys, do you think Erin should have stood up to his bullies and said, you know what, it's fake and I like my shirt and F off? Or do you do the right thing, protect himself, and get on that school bus?
I feel like, okay, because I went to an inner city high school, middle school like that, and I remember how vicious kids were about brands and stuff like that. And it's kind of like a dog-eat-dog world. Is that the right dog-eat-dog world? You really have to kind of protect yourself. And I think he knew deep down that his was fake. Mm-hmm. And he figured that the other kid would be okay because he already has so much real stuff. I don't think he was thinking, like, that kid's going to get endlessly clowned for long. But, like, Erin, who doesn't have anything, I feel like he thought in his mind he's going to get it worse.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he should have just got on the bus because he was outnumbered in every situation, it seemed like. So it's like, I'm not for fighting anyways. I'm not for violence, but I feel so bad.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he could have redeemed himself when he saw the kid going in the bus. Like, I thought he was going to come out and be like, it's my shirt that's fake. And then it would have been okay. Yeah.
I thought he was going to yell out and be like, hey, y'all, leave him alone. Yeah. Like, because it's the end of the day. I thought he was going to yell out to say stop. But
I mean, I get it. Just looking at him and being like, God, I'm so glad that's not me. Like, oh, I don't want to go through that. I get that. But on the other hand, I'm like, I feel like that's a lifetime regret. Like, not in the moment. Like, as a child, like, you can't possibly conceive of all the things that could potentially be going on. All you know is you don't want to get your ass whooped. You don't want to be the one being clowned in school every day. School's all you have as a kid. You ain't got no job. Yeah. Or your family is not your reprieve. They're the people still pushing you. Mm. Like, school is your time to, like, be you. So to be clowned day in, day out, forever, that's difficult. But I also feel like that's something that, to this day, Erin might still regret. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, I was stretching.
It was a triggering episode for Drew.
I just needed some moral support. I don't know. Like, Erin probably should have said something. I was like the poor kid in school, like Erin, and so like my mom often bought knockoff, like, when I was in high school, like, Hollister was cool, so, like, the little birds, and my mom would just buy polo shirts with, like, any little emblem on it. It would be, like, a croc, you know?
Like, a croc.
And, like, I'd just go into school, and people would, like, try to make fun of me. I'm like, what are you gonna do, beat my ass? No. Yeah. So, it's, goodbye.
It's crazy how we get caught up on just the logo. If it doesn't look like the appropriate logo, you get clowned for it. And that's so sad because a lot of kids, they don't have access to, you know, these expensive clothes. So it's like, but don't clown them for it. But
and it's their parents' money at the end of the day. Oh, none of y'all are buying your clothes.
We didn't have money then. Yeah. Well,
what I want, because Steph, I feel like you're the only one on the panel who can answer this. Because I know labels are huge in the Black community. As someone who's not part of the Black community, were labels, because like we see the white kid in the episode be like, I wore this shirt twice this week and nobody cared. Like, did you feel pressured to have labels?
It depended on where I moved. Like when I was younger, people cared, and then they didn't care like this ever. And then when I moved to I moved to like a really white school, and the girls were so, so rich. And that's where that was the first time I felt like, oh, I actually can't afford something, because they would be wearing like Rockin' Republic, True Religion, all those jeans. And so like they would shame, or the Juicy Couture, like they knew that was fake, that little zip up. So, but it was never like I feel like guys don't realize how ruthless they can really be to each other.
Yeah.
I was saying I kind of wish Kelly were here tonight, just because I feel like it's hard for me to put myself in the way guys are bullied.
Yeah.
Like, girls would be much more sly about this, and they would just like, more like death by a million cuts, you know what I mean? Yes. Like, I'll just slowly destroy your soul until you hate yourself. Whereas guys are like, oh, hey, you look stupid, clown, like, let me punch you in the face, and then it's over. it feels short, but I know that stuff is long-lasting and traumatic. Whereas girls, it seems like every day, in and out, you can never escape it. So wouldn't mind if some guys in the chat, or, you know, if you're listening later, if you want to pop up in the comment section and tell us, you know, maybe about your bullying experience, or if you think this was authentic. From a distance, it certainly felt authentic, especially when they got to clowning the substitute teacher.
Okay, now that...
It was wrong. It was so wrong, but it was hilarious. Kids are awful.
Kids you see that teacher still can't take it either.
Yeah.
Like, he's just as sensitive. Like, I feel like that's almost a reflection of like, what Earn does.
Words mean things. You can hurt people, which we saw. God.
Yeah. I feel bad, like... It was just one, it's a well-known thing that when the sub comes in, ain't shit gonna be done today. We're not like, oh, we watching the movie? Sure, Jan, whatever. Like, that's not happening.
Sure, Jan.
Like, they're very, I think I had maybe one substitute, and she was this mean-ass lady from Jamaica. Her name was Miss King, and I still think about her.
Oh my God.
Because she knew I was Jamaican. She
had a lot of issues with Jamaicans.
It's because we spot each other out. We call each other out.
I understand.
But she used to take me off to class, and she'd be like, I'm watching you. Shit. But she was the only substitute teacher I think I've ever had that was like, everyone was like, okay, got you. But otherwise, like, substitute teachers are like, you clown them because they're not really good enough to be teachers. Mm. So they're just like, they sub in. They're just there.
That is not why they substitute.
They're glorified babysitters.
So many of them are like part-time. Maybe the district doesn't have an open position.
As you can see, I was one of the people who clowned us up.
Drew is still in middle school. We're waiting for her to catch up.
Oh my God.
My goodness.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I have a lot of repressed feelings towards them.
I find it surprising that you only ever had one substitute teacher.
No, I only have one that I respected.
Okay.
I was like,
let me be clear.
Wow. I had multiple substitute teachers.
Your kids, your students were never, or your teachers were never missing school. That's incredible.
Well, my teacher stayed
gone. Yeah.
I would try to make friends with the sub.
I think it's interesting the idea of brands being this important, especially now as an adult, where I'm like, I don't know, I could afford this t-shirt and I like it, so let's roll with it. You mentioned some of the brands that were popular at your school. What kind of brands were you having to rock with?
Okay, so I don't know if some of y'all remember.
Yeah, bring up what you brought to my attention.
J-Lo's clothing line?
Yeah.
Of course.
I had some pants from J-Lo, and they were very, very tight. Honestly, they weren't really appropriate for, like, young girls, but hey, whatever. They were in the junior section, so
look,
I wore them.
We this don't is early aughts we're talking about, look, and nothing was appropriate for anybody.
Girl,
it was awful.
I think I had one pair of Apple Bottoms. My mom was really iffy about those because she thought all those clothes were way too tight for girls. Oh, and then... And then talking about like the fake clothes, I think I had a USPA shirt.
Someone brought
that
up. Not that
it's really fake, because it's actually older than Polo, but you just can't be wearing USPA apparently. And I think I got that one from Burlington's.
Baby Fat Echo.
Fat Farm.
Fat Farm. Mm.
Air Force Ones.
Air Force Ones. The See, jellies.
I've always been, like, big, so I wasn't wearing, like, any of the popular clothes, but I got my boobs early, so I had to be showing those off everywhere.
You can't buy that!
I'd be low V-necked, and girls would be like, you showing off your boobs, like, you just mad because you ain't come. Yours have not come in yet, so I'm yeah, rocking right. them forever.
Jealous. Mine still haven't come in yet, so...
I'm still waiting on mine to be delivered.
Y'all are crazy. Speaking of clothes, let's talk about Al's ROTC outfit and how proudly he wore that shit.
Girl. I was like every kid in ROTC, because you know they're about to go on
the list. I didn't have an ROTC, right, so break this down for me, because I didn't have it in my school.
Whew, ROTC kids were the most annoying fucking kids in high school. Oh, damn, we got feelings.
Yes.
They were, because they were like, ROTC is basically like training to go into...
The military.
Mm-hmm. And so they really were out here thinking that they were already in this joint.
Yeah. And they were so bossy all the time, trying to tell you
what
to
snitches.
Do.
They were snitches.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes, they were.
The only time I ever ended up in ISS was because of ROTC kids.
Because the ROTC kids.
Because they snitched.
Yes. An ROTC kid will get you a detention, an ISS, AEP, all of it.
They all got DUIs now and five baby mothers.
Yes.
So.
Did you have and them they in did college? Not go into the military.
Nope.
No. This is some fire shit I had no idea about.
We're pissed. Was it maybe? Ooh, is it like a heavily sleeves. Southern?
Yeah,
ROTC.
I only saw them in college.
Yeah,
but I did like them because like we had I was an athlete in college, and then the ROTC thought they were athletes, and like it wasn't the same.
Girl,
like,
no.
Yeah, you're fighting for our country. Kudos.
We had an ROTC in my high school until I want to say the 80s, and then they were like rifles in school. No, we don't do that.
See, that's smart, but yeah,
that was not how.
Where'd you go to school in the Midwest?
Illinois, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We went to school in the South, so it's kids with guns.
And we still had Native Americans smoking peace pipes above our high school door. Which I was like, this cannot be that's culturally awesome. Accurate or appropriate, but it was wild. Al, as a kid, is hilarious, and I'm not going to lie, probably how I'd raise my child, just be a foul mouth, like, talk back, like, don't you take shit from anybody. The way he lawyered up himself in that meeting was amazing. Yes. He took that kid to task. He was like, nope, you did it wrong. You did wrong, too. What do we think about Al's childhood persona?
It's who he grew up to be. I mean, it's like, this is so out. He was the same way as a kid. Like, I wasn't surprised. I'm like, this is very fitting.
Mm. Yeah, I love young Al. I think he's hilarious. But I feel for him because he was in there with that little white, what's that kid, white.
Non-black.
Latino, white passing Latino. I don't know. Non-black man of color.
Mm.
Possibly. And he knew. Listen,
we're not sure.
Public schools are not out
we'll
here.
We'll leave it at that.
Up for racially ambiguous.
Okay, we get it.
We were just talking about
anyway.
Other.
We were.
Let me get it out.
Anyway, he knew that public like schools me. Aren't here for black kids. As we see on the news all the time, it's public schools aren't true. For black kids. They don't know how to.
Right.
They don't know how to correctly, like, you know, keep us in line or whatever. Mm-hmm. And even when we are in line, like, they just don't know how to
out.
They just don't know how to handle us. So he was like, listen, you gonna be all right, but I'm just gonna go ahead and throw you under the bus because I gotta look out for me. And I loved it.
I loved
it. We do, black kids, we do have to look out for ourselves in public schools. It's a shame.
Yeah, because he knew, like, you could easily get your words twisted, I feel like. And he knew, like, I gotta have both sides. And he was like, what are you gonna do? You gotta give us both dissension. So I was like, yes.
And I like how all of a sudden it was like, nobody's in trouble then.
Yeah.
Right. He was like, okay, I'll just go back to class.
And then he used that advice to Al.
Well, I also feel like with public schools, like, there's very limited resources and teachers are being underpaid. And it's kind of like, because I have a couple friends who are in public schools, and it's like, sometimes you just gotta get through the day.
Okay.
And they don't.
Like, honestly, I don't have the energy for this.
Yeah. You're like, it's like, you know what? I'm not going to play this right. Just go. Oh, get out of my face.
This little boy will be back in here in a couple of weeks doing some other shady shit. Like, it's not the hill I'm dying on today. Now, Al was smart. He was like, let me get you to tell all the information. I sold your calculator back to you. That makes you stupid, not me. You spent money on something you already own. You definitely should have just gone to the principal and be like, you can see it has my name carved in the back. For the future, if you're still in junior high and dealing with these things, go to a teacher first. I also really enjoyed the whole, like, arc of the t-shirt. Like, just be, first of all, being in the store with mom was so triggering. I feel like we don't see this with a lot of black kids. Again, a lot of black stories are tragic from the perspective of like, oh, racism is awful. Mm-hmm. Which it is, but it's also nice to see just like the daily struggle and being in the store with your mom and you're like, woman, I want to go home. She's like, oh, I like this. Oh, it's a good price. But I don't know. Are we buying it or not? Right. Like, I have video games at home that need to be played. Okay, I got homework to do. This is a lot.
It's a lot.
And what do you think? When his eyes fall on the t-shirt and he's like, oh my God, think of it. I'm going to be so sharp in it. Especially for back to school, like clothes shopping. Oh my God. This was very triggering and kind of a unique moment. What do we think about his mom being like, especially at the end? So I bought you another FUBU t-shirt. Don't say nothing about it.
I felt for him. Yeah. I really did.
Like, he's not going to... I don't think he's going to wear it, though, of course, because everything can't. I just went through, I'm not doing this again with you, Mom.
Yeah, and it was a good perspective to show, I think, when parents are, every parent is disconnected from what goes on in school because kids all play their parents into thinking they're nice when there's bullies, like we saw in the first scene in the bus.
Well, then you can't even explain this because your mom's reaction is going to be to go down to the school and talk to somebody and get your ass and their ass dragged out. And now who's
and
a
snitch? And then your snitch, yeah.
It's a lose-lose.
Mm. I feel like that's interesting because that's sort of the entire premise of the show is like nobody's getting ahead and it's constantly a lose-lose. And so the idea of distilling that into your elementary experience where it's always lose-lose, like whether you're going up against teachers, whether it's your parents, whether it's other students. I wanted to talk a little bit about what we learned about the guys through this journey. Drew said something interesting while we were watching. She's like, I wonder where that happy owl went. And I think if you knew a lot of, or at least for me, I knew a lot of black boys, you know, coming up with a family or whatever, Jack and Jill, they were like, they're happier as kids, like joyous, like running around, super excited. And now not so much. Now there's like a lot of, well, I don't know if it's, some of it's depression, some of it's anxiety. A lot of it is just kind of how the world has beat them up. I want to talk to you guys a little bit about like black depression and our ability to talk about it, and especially as we see it in our boys. Drew, I know you looked at some statistics earlier about like black suicide.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, suicide is one of those things that the black community doesn't really discuss. And so I wanted to look at the actual numbers for it. And since 1999, black suicide in young black males has actually gone up, like it's doubled. Between the ages of 15 and 24, it's the third leading cause of death in young black males. And that statistic for it doubling since 1999 was for young black males between the ages of 5 and 11.
That is nuts.
Yeah. And that was according to rollingon.com.
So young.
In case you wanted to double check it.
Do you think that's what the show was kind of like showing, that there's like home issues that you can't even like talk about things? And then also like when you get to school, things happen and it's like you're kind of boxed in.
I think the show was trying to show like, because the whole time, at least most audience members are rooting for Earn to do well. Like, don't get in trouble. Don't get beat up. Like, we know Earn. We want him to be safe and okay. But at the same time, in your rush to be safe, you forget about, like, those around you. Like, that kid deserved people rooting for him as well. And we didn't get that. And also, I don't think anybody would have saw it, even though there's a lot of signs there. We see the kids being like, oh, you sensitive? You're going to cry? Like, what's wrong with you? Yeah. And he's, you know, boohooing and trying to run away. And he's sitting by himself a lot of the times. So we never see him talking to anybody else. All signs of, like, depression, isolation, and bullying. And yet, it's not until he's already gone that we take notice of those things, or at least I as a viewer took notice of those things. So I'm glad they did. It is super, it's kind of depressing, but we've been dealing with a lot of heavy issues, especially, again, as it relates back to our Robin season. Earn is robbed of the excitement of his shirt and just enjoying it. Al literally stole a calculator, and that kid lost his life. Those nuts, but
yeah, I guess that was what my question, like, as black women, what do you think your what's your perspective of why this statistic has gone up like that grossly?
Well, I think one, it's because the black community is, we're expected to be strong all the time because of historically all the things that we've had to go through, and like our black men are never allowed to show emotion because they've been, you know, treated in less than human for so many years, that like there's this consistent need to show how manly they are, to show how strong they are, to show how you know, savage they are. And so they don't get to show these emotions and feel pain and hurt in the normal way. And so you bottle that up for a certain amount of time and it can only be bad.
Yeah. Also, you know, the political climate has a lot to do with that as well, you know, with people, whether or not they'll be losing their jobs, whether or not whether or not they can afford health care, just things like that definitely affect them. So it kind of shocks me, too, because I feel like in the Black community, we're talking about mental health awareness more, and I'm seeing more Black people actually discuss even thinking about going to therapy and their experiences with therapy and even their experiences with being on medication. There's nothing wrong with being on, like, medication for your anxiety and your depression, paranoia, PTSD, all of it. But the fact that the numbers are still climbing, I'm baffled.
There's still an entire generation and even some folks from our generation who do not believe in mental health. No. And there's a lot of reasons for Black Americans specifically to distrust the medical system. Like, we've been tested on. We've been, you know, abused by the medical community. We're not listened to. Freaking star champion tennis players who know their body better than anyone else are telling their doctors post-birth, like, hey, I have an issue. You want to watch out for it. Hey, this issue is happening right now. Someone needs to watch out for it. It's literally happening. Like, Serena had to convince her doctors, like, you need to take care of me or I'm going to die. And she's got power and money behind her. So the idea that that's still something that we're dealing with. So I get it. On the other hand, it's super isolating. I recently came out to some of my family members about, like, my mental health struggles and telling them, like, look, I'm going to see a therapist. I'm trying all of these different things. And the reaction was like, oh, but don't you think that's a scam? Or, oh, you don't want to, like, lose that bright personality of yours? Or, oh, like, you want to become addicted?
Or maybe you should pray on it.
Oh! Nobody told me that, but they're aware of how I feel about those things. And so that was a smart choice on their part. But you could tell that was in their spirit a little bit.
Yeah.
The idea of, like, oh, you're going to be okay, just toughen up, which is a super Black, like, mindset.
You're strong. You can handle this.
Exactly.
But I feel like I can't. So now what?
Right. But I'm actually not handling it.
I'm actually not doing well.
It is actively not getting better. So I can keep trying or I can, like, try something else. And so maybe
I need
a third
party. I need some additional help.
But identifying it is
number one. That's amazing. Yes.
Heck yes.
Sean in the chat said, what's important, I think, is that Devin didn't even tell the other kids that he saw the string from Earn's shirt. So I think that's kind of interesting that, like, I don't know if he was so depressed that he was just in his own little world and just was, like, going through it, or, like, I don't know. I'm just really sad about this episode. I'm not going to lie. This whole situation
sad as hell too.
Was
hard. Is it twice as sad because it was obvious which shirt was the ripoff? If it's got a patch, it's probably legit. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it hurts. Are you saying about Devin's suicide?
Yeah.
That, but also because the last thing those kids did was throw something at him before he got on the bus. And that was their last interaction with that boy before he killed himself. And then whenever the principal came in, that boy laughed.
Well, I think that shows something else. Is just the disassociation with, like, death. Because I've certainly, like, I have mixed feelings about it. Because on the one hand, like, I don't know if you guys have ever experienced something, like, horrible and laughed at it. I have, because, like, when I get anxious, sometimes I laugh, and it's not...
It's out of you're uncomfortable.
Right, yeah. Right. And I don't want to dehumanize... Like, it could have been you just a trash person, and you thought it was funny that he killed himself. But to me, it's more likely, like, shit. That was my last interaction with him.
I hope
and
so.
I don't know what else to do with myself in this moment, and it's awkward, and I'm uncomfortable. And I'll never tell anybody about it, because just like he didn't tell anybody about it. That's not something I'm going to ever be able to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, I think the little kid, I hate calling kids trash, but.
Some kids are trash. They're just tiny people.
But it also goes.
That's it.
It also goes into, it just goes to show that how much we don't really take mental health seriously. And it starts whenever we're children that we do need to have these conversations and we don't have that. So we don't really even understand how powerful depression is that and it. When it pushes somebody to the point of suicide and how permanent suicide is, you know, and for him to just laugh, it's he probably wasn't even what he wasn't thinking.
I want to circle back into a brighter note on the show. We got a Dragon Ball Z drop. What? Whoa, my Black nerds party.
Dragon Ball coming
off. Yes. Yes, Steph. I know if you, like, I was born in 89, so, like, in 99 I was 10. I had a lot of older cousins who were, like, hyped as fuck for Dragon Ball Z, and that was my introduction to anime. They would take, like, hours to draw the characters, they had scenes up, they could tell me about every episode. And I just love seeing Black nerddom in the same way that I liked two episodes ago where Al ran into those kids and they were like, oh, Star Wars, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yes, anytime Black nerds speak, I just love it, and I love that Donald Glover finds a way to weave that in at any point in time, and it was super great. Let's also take a minute to talk about Erica. Oh, Erica. Like, look, girl, I respect what you're trying to do here. I respect that you're like, oh, he's kind of cute. I want to do. But I don't like broke niggas. Like, girl, he's 14. He ain't got a job. Everyone here is broke. None of us have our own money. Get over yourselves. My question to you guys is, did you know an Erica or were you Erica?
I wasn't Erica. I knew it, Erica.
I knew it. I'm about Erica. The love. I was not that bold like that.
Yeah, I'm not about the. I want to get paid. You can be just a nice man without money.
I wasn't cute in high school, so I was not picky.
Like, I knew my lane, you know? I knew my lane.
I was just chilling, you know? Yeah. I was just hanging out.
Yeah.
I liked that Ern wasn't even really into it. Like, he was like, well, yeah, I like her. She's cute. But then he gave her his note. She gave him her number, and she was like,
The climax of the notes were epic.
Oh, my God.
Because we all were, like, taken aback at the last
moment. I was starting to get irritated. I'm like, another note? What
now? A third note. That's too many notes. We need to write multiple questions.
Drew has a positive note for us. Send me a
questionnaire. Yes, Drew does have a positive note for us.
I sure do. If you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all aspects of your life, we've got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday. Guys, that's tomorrow. So get ready for it. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life.
Yeah.
From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister that you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know it was us, the Atlanta panel, that sent you there.
Yes.
Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out.
Do check it out. It's she's not super an Erica. Great. No, she's not. She's going to help you get your life. I love the way Al stood up for Ern. We get Al burst in and is like, let me take these tags. Nope, it's wrong. He said China. He's lying. And insert racist joke here. Kid's actually Filipino. Which...
You know what I thought was interesting about that? The whole, the Asian kid being involved with it? Because I feel like it's kind of a take on the hype beast thing where, like, Asian culture often reflects Black culture, but, like, they still have, there's still a lot of anti-Blackness to it.
Oh, what? Okay. And, like, what?
I thought the same thing, but thanks for saying it, girl.
But, like, the term hype beast is, like, you know, they're the brand snobs, and it's normally urban wear. And I just thought, like, it was interesting that, like, Donald Glover, of all people, was the one. Because, you know,
he's been... Well, remember, the director of every single episode is Asian.
Wait, what were you about to say?
Well, he's been accused of, like, fetishizing Asians, like, over the years. So I just thought it was interesting that that was, like,
brought to
there.
Light.
Yeah.
It was interesting. There's a lot to unpack there. I'm glad Hiro Murai is here. He made that moment, like, really funny. I was able to delve into... racism, especially I feel like we don't talk a lot about racism within the Black community. I'm sorry, prejudice within the Black community. Black people can't be racist. It's a systematic thing. But we can't be prejudiced, and we frequently are. I certainly have grandparents who were super prejudiced.
Girl!
I think I told you my brother brought home a white girl one time to Thanksgiving, and my grandma fake fainted.
Girl, why?
I can't. To it. She was like, oh, Jesus, and she went down.
My cousin brought home a Mexican woman.
But he's biracial. She wasn't having it.
She don't claim that side.
Oh.
Exactly. Yeah, my cousin brought home a Mexican woman who's the mother of two of his children. And my family, it's like, I was like, y'all ain't gonna talk to her? They're like, I don't even know who she is. She's not married to him. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so problematic.
Don't let them not be married. Then they really don't.
They're like, no. And then he denounced Jesus in front of everybody. And they were like, we're done with the whole family. I said, this is a lot, y'all. But it's possible. It was interesting to see. Final things I want to talk about the episode are the moms. So we see Ern's mama and Al's mama sitting together, being adorable. And I give them some advice that I think all Black children hear. Like, you are a Black man in America. You need to care about how you dress. You're going to wear a suit. My mother would do this to me all the time. She'd be like, here are your white gloves and your crinoline-filled dress. Oh. And you got to look nice. And I'm like, mommy, this thing is itchy. I do not feel comfortable. She's like, you are going to stand up there with a rod straight back and you are going to present or meet these people or shake hands, whatever. Yeah. And I remember being annoyed because, like, I didn't feel like I could be a kid. Like I grew up in an all-white community. I've talked about this a lot. And, like, kids could rip and run and be loud and all kinds of things. And no, not you, because you're black. Mm-hmm. And they will call you out for it or call me out for it as your mother, so I'm not doing this. Was that conversation triggering for anyone else?
Yeah. Sean in the chat said that he felt like it was kind of, it's kind of going back to, like, the slave mentality that we still have to dress well, and that when the moms were saying, you're a black man in this country and you need to look good wherever you go, it was kind of like, you need to look good for the white man or else you're not going to, like, make it.
That's an interesting take.
And I feel like...
Oh, yeah, I wrote some about that.
I kind of peep that because I have a white mom, and she, I feel like, is a very progressive woman, but obviously, you know, she's going to have her shortcomings with the black community, like, not fully understanding. So she was very hard on me in comparison to, like, my white siblings or, like, but my biracial brother and I, like, she was very hard on us because she was like, people are going to be hard on you. About how, like, they instantly will assume they know you from the first glance. Like, your siblings are not going to have to go through that. They can do whatever the hell they want, and people are going to constantly give them the benefit of the doubt. You don't get that luxury. So you need to speak properly. You need to, you know, be careful how you're acting out in public. You need to do this. You need to dress like this.
Man, your mama knew what's up.
It was just very, like, and it sucked because I would, like, watch my sister, you know, act a damn fool, and no one would think twice, but, like, I had to be... I had to be great at all times because, like, I slip up once and I'm instantly a stereotype and you no longer are acknowledging me or respecting me.
Agree. I want to take issue with the slave. I don't know if it's a hangover from slavery. I just feel like parents know how people are going to treat you. And it's true that you're going to be treated better the better you dress, the better you behave. And it... Is it exhausting to have to be that on all the time? Yes. Should there be spaces where, especially as kids, you can kick back and relax and be loud and just be a child for a little bit? Absolutely. But I don't disagree that, like, when you step out into society, you need to understand what it is you're up against. And I think preparing your kids for that is just being a good parent.
Yeah. I definitely agree. I just, and I mean, it's one of those things that's like, it sucks and it's unfortunate that, like, we can't, I mean, don't be a jackass, you know, like. But it does suck that, like, there isn't a sense of freedom that we're allowed to have as black kids, especially young black men. Like, it sucks that there's not that certain sense of freedom, and you instantly have to be game on the second you're not, like...
But the more you talk about it, the more I think this is why Donald Glover's a genius, because the juxtaposition of his, like, in more of, like, a white society type outfit look, and in school, they're both not safe spaces.
D. McElroy in the chat says, it seems like the black community is always trying to make sure that white people aren't scared.
Okay, so here's the thing. One, yeah, totally. And I agree with you that it shouldn't be black folks' responsibility not to make white people scared.
Facts.
But I also think that, as you're saying, but again, but to the other side of that is, but sometimes they are. And when white people are scared, sometimes black kids end up dead. And so asking your children to try to play along, even though it feels negative, because you don't want to have to bend their will to something else. It's also, I would like it's to see you come home today. You know, I don't want you getting in trouble at school. It's going to make it harder for you to go to college, which we know is going to give you a better start in life, even though it's going to start you off an incredible amount of debt. Like, it's a lot of things to juggle. Being black is not easy, and you have to make these decisions every single day.
That's very real. The way that we present ourselves to the world could easily be a life or death situation.
I mean, Trayvon Martin wore a hoodie, so.
Yeah.
Like, it's not anything new that we're dealing with.
But it still doesn't work, because, like you said, Trayvon Martin, you know, wore a hoodie. I mean, MLK was in a suit when he was murdered, you know? And he's, like, the most respectable black person ever. Well, and that, now,
that guy in New York moving into his apartment, and he was just working for the Obama administration. Was caught, said that they were.
So, like, it's still, I understand that mindset, but also it still doesn't work. So, like,
I also think it's like a white person thing in general to just judge, like, in any space, especially with black men and women and boys and girls. But in general, like, even like if I'm like, because I'm racially ambiguous and I can, like, be accepted by the white community easily. If I'm, my parents are both in law and, like, they screamed it into us, like, we have to be best behaved all the time, mm-hmm. dressed all the time. Like, I remember when my brother was going through, like, a goth phase, like, in church, like, you see, like, white people go crazy. Like, that's just, like, they're always in fear of something that doesn't look like them, so that's why I think it's magnified with the black community. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, I really appreciate everybody chiming in the chat, and again, I totally hear your perspectives, yes, and they're incredibly valid, so thank you. This is great. I wanted to drop into some news and gossip.
Okay.
Oh!
AfterBuzz TV News.
Steven, I'm so sorry. Did I check with you? Did I have you look at the email? No.
We're going to do like the backs to each other.
Okay, can you just look up on Twitter, Atlanta Cast, or sorry, you can just look it on Google. It's Atlanta Cast singing Creep by TLC.
In the meantime, I can do the little info. Yeah, yeah. Zazie Beetz was on Jimmy Kimmel, great episode.
So good.
Donald Glover announced his tour dates with Vince Staples. Yes. That's going to be lit. And what else? There was also something.
SNL.
Oh, of course, I'm on the SNL panel. You can catch that on Sundays. Yes. Donald Glover will be there, and his alter ego, Childish Gambino. So it's going to be great.
Which I love, because SNL is known for like putting videos and stuff throughout the week leading up to the show. Yes. And I love that anytime Donald Glover has to do anything, he talks about Childish Gambino as if it isn't him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he's like, hi, I'm Donald Glover. I'm hosting tonight with special guest Childish Gambino, and I'm like,
and the most like nonchalant intro ever. Like, he's just like, you know, he's gonna like really like light up the writing, and they need that. Yeah. But he's like all nonchalant about it. He's like, I'll be there. Like, his like promos are nothing.
Very chill.
Crazy. Yeah, if we can't find it, that's okay. Look, if you guys need to go onto the internet, search and find the Atlanta episode from last week. They had an outtake video with the crew in their silkies singing Creep. If you've not seen the TLC Creep video, correct yourself and go see it now on YouTube. It is thebomb.com. It's one of their best songs. And the guys sing it, and they're amazing at it, and it's just a lot of fun.
I'm really sad it got deleted.
Like, it got deleted?
It was a deleted scene.
Like, oh, from the show. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. I was like, no, it's not
circulating. There's been a couple deleted scenes that, like, the Black Panther thing, that deleted scene, I was like, why didn't that make it to the movie? This is another one. I was like, why didn't it make it to the show?
There's, like, three Black Panther deleted scenes, and they're all better than the last. It's incredible.
I was like, why didn't y'all include this in the... I would have sat there for another, like, 2 hours.
When they said the first cut of Black Panther was 4.5 hours, I said, release the whole thing.
Like, that's fine.
Okay? It does not bother me to sit here forever. I will do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'll block out my day.
Yeah, totally.
Y'all may have watched those white people for 3 hours. You could have let us watch Wakanda for three. Ah! Haters.
Did not get enough Wakanda in part two. So classic. So classic.
It's on the Complex Instagram page. I do know that. This video. Creep video.
If you follow me on Twitter, people keep tweeting it at me, and I keep retweeting it because it's so good.
It's well worth your while. And I feel like us as a panel should all have that.
Can we get silk pajamas?
Silky pajamas. Oh, I'm God, about it. I call purple.
I obviously call green.
She's having it. Steph already came in.
I'm Herod. All right, great news and gossip, guys. Thanks for that. Again, if you guys are watching on YouTube, rate us 5 stars. Leave us comments. If you're listening on iTunes, hi, listeners. You can also rate us the things there. And tell us what you think. Next week, I'm going to try to bring in as many iTunes comments from this season as possible, give you guys shout-outs, because I appreciate you guys. I know we don't get around to iTunes a lot, so I want to say thank you to you guys. In our last couple of minutes, why don't we get into predictions for the last episode?
Oh, my God.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay.
All right.
So, it has been 10 long episodes. It has been dramatic. We've seen a robbery every episode. Elle had two standalone episodes. Darius went on the crazy adventure from hell. Poor Earn be getting clowned by everything and everybody. Cannot even get his shine on when he's trying to take his lady out. Lost a terrible, terrible tabletop game to his girlfriend. And we ain't seen this baby all season. What are you guys hoping we get at the season finale?
I'm not... This isn't a hope, but this is what I think's gonna happen. I think this is the end of Earn and Al's business relationship. I think that's the final rob. Mm. I think that's gonna be because like
This episode focused so heavily on their relationship and how Al had his back and, like, you know, their how tight they've been for how long. Yeah, I mean, they're cousins, right? But, like, they've been tight from the get-go.
Yeah.
So I think it was to prepare you for the fact that they're going to go their separate ways.
Mm-hmm. Especially with, we think about the girl who was having so much issues with her teacher at first. She was like, are we going to have a bad day? Like, I don't know. Are we? That was me, by the way. I had a lot of attitude in high school. I was like, you got something to say? They were like, we don't want racist charges. I'm like, I bet you don't. My mom will come up here and she will say some shit. You will all be embarrassed.
My mom knows a lot of big words. She'll make you feel bad.
Yes. But she does come in at the end, fills that little boy's seat who took his life. And she was just like, lit. Like, she was jovial. She's like, I want to participate. I want to read. And I think it says something a lot about the cycle of depression, too, which is something we've been seeing Ern go through. If we think about where we left in season one, where he was like, look, I'm not going to take anyone's charity. I'm going to stand on my own 2 feet. And I'm going to, like, be a man and take care of my stuff, to this season where he, the last place he was living, which was in a storage unit, was robbed from him in episode one. To having to live with his cousin, to be essentially being dropped by his cousin after being clowned for, like, 8 episodes, to now, like, losing his girl, losing his job, maybe. I think you're right that it is going to end, but my hope is something good happens for Ern is going to make Al double take. Because the thing is, Al's been on top for a while, and I don't think he realizes how good Ern has been to him. Like, to be fair, Ern has gotten him a lot of positions where he's standing right next to that other manager, which means we're on our way. But you have to do a lot of these baby steps before you can blow up.
Yeah, some of the people in the chat think Ern is either going to commit a robbery himself. People are kind of hinting towards they feel like a rap beef maybe because we've seen Ern work on some music himself.
It's going to be Ern versus Al, like Kanye v. Jay-Z.
God, no. Except
I don't think Ern or Al is on that coonery life.
I want to revisit Ern and Van for some reason.
Yeah.
That did not end. Like, we saw when Van had her solo episode, she was, like, checking his Instagram to see what was up. We saw some girl with him. So, yeah, I would also like either some kind of conclusion or at least, like, a text message.
They're not over. It's a notebook. It's never over for them. I don't believe it. I think that this isn't going to happen, but I hope that Al, like, this is setting up Ern to realize that he can't live life like this in the backseat his entire life and this entire season and all that we've known Ern, he is in the backseat and he's completely passive.
Yes,
and if
so
you want to get that money, like, and be successful with your cousin who also has your back, like, you need to get on it. Like, start acting like you're meant to be there.
Totally. Yeah, I hope so. Like, again, I've been asking Ern to, like, step up. You making music.
We all
hear
have
that. Ern is the one who's.
Ern, what's going on?
And even at the end of this episode, we're like, so Ern, you're going to start your piano lessons and you're going to wear the suit, which means you were the one who was into music first. I kind of am curious if Al ever went into the army, if we see anything about that, because he was in ROTC this episode and he was sung. Because ROTC requires some kind of, like, group participation. Like, you got to be actively involved. Yeah. You got to be showing up to things, which does not seem like Al's forte where we are now. Also, all we know about Al is super depressed. Mm. We see this a lot. Like, even as he's making moves, like, he is just sad. He's having a hard time, like, connecting with people
just
outside.
Going through the motions.
Just very moody. Exactly. Mm. So I'm kind of hoping to see, like, either what happened between there, between his childhood and what we know of him today. Mm. Maybe more information about his mom. Mm. And of course, just our love, Darius. Like, come back, Darius. Be fun.
I saw somebody say on Twitter before, like, the blackest thing about Atlanta is Al's undiagnosed depression.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
Christian Medston, I'm sorry if I said your name wrong, in the chat said that he thinks the golden gun from the earlier episode is going to come back, the one that earned.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be...
The show does do that a lot, where it'll be like 8 episodes later, like, hey, this pays off.
Remember
like,
this?
God damn it.
And real quick, Ibe, sorry if I said your name wrong. I can't read. But he in the chat said that Denisha, the little girl that was really upset the one day in Chipper, that she had a black eye and that he thinks she was being abused at home because there were, like, some bruises and stuff on her.
Oh,
the
I
one
didn't
day
see the
and
bruises.
Not,
but
I didn't see it. It was a glare where I was sitting.
A couple people in the chat,
again,
like, acknowledged.
But I wonder, like, what she has some pep in her step when she came back in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what is it that's, like, inspired her? Mm-hmm. So, like, she's ready and willing to learn the
I didn't know if it was a bipolar disorder or, like, something at home. Because, like, usually kids don't want to act. Yeah. usually kids don't want to do that. You know, like, I feel like a lot of kids who, like, have especially problems not that
quickly,
that,
like, the next day.
Yeah. No, yeah, and they don't want to be the one causing problems, but it's, like, usually you get yourself in that box and then you have to act like it.
Everyone's saying Tracy might die. What? I don't want that to happen.
I mean, there are a lot of guns this season without any impactful deaths that we've seen. We talked about the simulation before, so it's very possible. Thanks again to the chat for being here and being live and being on point. You guys are amazing. I really loved reading your theories throughout. Until next week, folks, starting with Drew, where can the crew find you?
You guys can find me on all the things at OKDrewJ.
Oh, and everyone, I'm just going to have to say bye because it's going to be my last episode. No! I won't be here next week. But again, I'm Ivana. You can follow me on you can follow me on Twitter at Ivana L. Williams. And go visit my Instagram. I just posted some new photos. Ivana.Williams.
Yeah, check those headshots. She's gorgeous.
Thanks, I'm, like, still, like, really upset. We're not like, happy about so it. That's so rude for you not to tell me that before.
Well, we have each other's numbers.
Oh, yeah. I asked for it in a very aggressive way. Like, I really took the reins, you guys, because I love Ivana, and you should creep her Instagram if you know what I'm saying. I'm Steph Sabraw. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabraw. And catch me on SNL when we debrief Childish Gambino.
Yes, get that life. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. Today I was at Screen Junkies for the Women in Film Benefit. You guys raised $34,000 for women in film, which is incredible. I think the donations are still available. If you guys want to chip in $1 or $5, we really appreciate it. Also, check me out if you guys are in Ontario, California on the 19th and the 20th. I'm going to be doing 2 Star Wars panels, a Darkwing Duck panel, and I'm talking to Jason Aaron about his legendary comic book scalp. Come join it. Say hi. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week for the finale.
Get your money, girl.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.